What does an accountant say to keep motivated?
I don't know. What?
Be audit you can be.
It's time for the Children's Hour.
Concern for all we need. Why don't you listen and learn to love his happiness once was wrong, but do society even not turn wrong? Why don't be a dumb dummy and disrespect mommy? And why she put you on?
Seeing our wise ones grown, interest in what the kid learned about, seeing how the offspring turned out, knowing you can now safeguard self, put upon an exciting path, you'll see immense pride they'll have.
Hey,
lose soundly, kids that we have lose boundaries, grow into what's called curse rates, lack independence, worst case imprisonment, death near for, not what we brought kids here for, morals and values of sort should be the first thing in store.
Believe it or not, God still shines, he guides you and he watched you as you grew, stay out of trouble when it comes inside, cause a man never loses a fight.
Macy Gray, you are tuned to the Children's Hour. That is from a CD called The ID. Macy Gray featuring Slick Rick, Hey Young World Part 2. Good morning. Hello, everyone. Hello, everyone in the studio. Hi, everybody. Hi.
Good morning.
We have such a nice full house. For folks who don't live in Albuquerque, we had a very magical night last night. Anybody want to talk about it? Yeah, go for it. What happened? Yeah?
Snow.
This is a big deal. It's all white out there. It's really pretty, I think. Well, hello. I am Katie Stone. Delighted to be with you, as always, on a Saturday on KUNM for the Children's Hour. And we have a lot of folks in the studio. Let's start over here.
Hi, this is Siobhan.
Good morning. It's Maya.
Hi, this is Lorena.
Hello, I'm Liliana.
Hi, I'm Soren.
Hi, I'm Marisa.
Hi, I'm Mateo.
Hello, everyone. It's so nice to have you all here. Welcome to the show. And anybody have any good news, bad news, any news in the studio? It's been a busy week. Yeah, Siobhan.
We have the selected date for when I get my braces off, and it's my next orthodontist appointment.
Which is what date?
March 28th.
Yay! We're all tired of braces for you on your behalf. Yes, Soren.
Today's my cousin's birthday.
Oh, what's his name?
Brecken.
Happy birthday, Brecken. How old is he, Soren?
He's turning 3.
Aww. Yeah.
Today is my friend Elijah's birthday party.
Yay, Elijah. That's going to be fun. I love birthday parties. I have a big birthday coming up this year, and I've decided I should have a party. Don't you think? Yeah, everybody's agreeing. Yeah, and invite us. Okay, you're invited. Well, we are so excited because today on the show, we're talking with somebody that is elected. His name is Brian Colone. Hi, Brian.
Good morning.
Great to have you. We're going to talk to you in a minute about everything you do in your job, because those of us who are allowed to vote, you know, we vote for a state auditor in elections. And I had this sort of interesting discovery that, like, so many people don't really know what the auditor actually does. In this room, if you say, I don't know what he does, tell me, I don't know what he does. Okay, if you don't know, ready? Does anybody in this room know?
Yeah.
I don't know what he does.
You know, adults don't even know what you do. And it's okay that kids don't know what you do. But, you know, his job is incredibly important. And we're going to learn exactly what that is. This is part of our civic series we're doing on the Children's Hour. And we're delighted to have our elected official, New Mexico State Auditor, Brian Colone, in the studio with us today live on the Children's Hour. But before we go there, we're going to go here and thinking about numbers and all the great things. This is the great Bob Doro from a CD that's a compilation called Songs for the Car.
Three is a magic number. Yes, it is. It's a magic number. Somewhere in the ancient mystic trinity, you get three as a magic number. The past and the present and the future, faith and hope and charity, the heart and the brain and the body give you three as a magic number. It takes three legs to make a tripod or to make a table stand. It takes three wheels to make a vehicle called a tricycle. Every triangle has three corners. Every triangle has three sides. No more, no less. You don't have to guess. When it's three, you can see it's a magic number.
A man and a woman had a little baby. Yes, they did. They had three in the family. That's a magic number.
3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 21, 24, 27, 30.
3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 21, 24, 27, 30.
Now the multiples of three come up three times in each set of 10. In the first 10, you get 3, 6, 9, and in the teens 10, it's 12, 15, and 18. And in the 20s, you get a 21, 24, 27, and it comes out even on 30, yeah.
Now multiply backwards from 3 times 10.
3 times 10 is
30.
3 times 9 is
27.
3 times 8 is
24.
3 times 7 is
21.
3 times 6 is 18. 3 times 5 is 15. 3 times 4 is 12. 3 times 3 is 9. 3 times 2 is 6. And 3 times 1 is 3, of course.
Take the pattern once more. 3, 6, 9.
12, 15, 18.
21, 24, 27. 30. Yeah.
30.
Now multiply from 10 backwards.
3 times 10 is 30.
Going
3 times 9 is 27.
3 times 8 is 24.
3 times 7 is 21.
3 times 6 is 18.
3 times 5 is 15. 3 times 4 is 12. And 3 times 3 is 9. And 3 times 2 is 6.
three times one.
What is it?
Three!
Yeah.
That's a magic number. A man and a woman had a little baby. Yes, they did. They had three in the family. That's a magic number.
Three is a magic number, Bob Doro, from a CD called Songs for the Car. You recognize him from Schoolhouse Rock. And I think we lost Bob Doro last year or the year before. Big loss in the world of kids' music. You are tuned to the Children's Hour here, broadcasting live on KUNM right now. And later this will all be podcast. We are very delighted to have our New Mexico State Auditor in the room with us, Brian Colon, Auditor Colon. Welcome to the Children's Hour.
Thank you, Katie Stone. Not as delighted as I am to be here with these phenomenal young people. I love the Children's Hour.
Oh, thank you so much. We love it too. And there's a lot of kids in the room, and we've been, as you know, talking off the mic before, you know, not in front of the listeners, but trying to understand what an auditor does. And you learned, even on the air, no one really knows what your job does. So we're going to start over here. Siobhan's going to take our first question, and we have a lot of questions for you. So I hope you're ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Siobhan, bring it.
What is an auditor?
What is an auditor? Well, that's a great question, a great way to open up the show. But an auditor is someone who reviews financial transactions to make sure that they're done correctly and appropriately. And what I mean by financial transactions, at least in the office of the state auditor, it's an opportunity for our office to review how your taxpayer dollars are spent. Or I should say your parents' taxpayer dollars are spent in government. And that's all levels of government, whether it's our city council and mayor here at this level or state agencies in New Mexico, like Health and Human Services, all the organizations and agencies in New Mexico that affect your lives are actually audited on an annual basis, where we review the transactions and how they spend New Mexicans' money in government.
So kids have a lot of questions, but you made me think of another question, which is, do you only audit government agencies? Is that your work, is to govern the government agencies?
Sure. So my scope and focus at the Office of the State Auditor is to review and take a look under the hood at any transactions that involve taxpayer dollars. We also, on occasion, will evaluate process to make sure the process is serving the people of New Mexico.
So say... So if taxpayer dollars go from, because I seem to remember an auditor auditing things like charter schools and stuff that aren't necessarily run by the state, but because tax money goes to them, that's how come they can get audited by you?
That's absolutely correct. And so if there's taxpayer dollars that are in an organization, then we have the capacity to go in there and audit them and make sure that those taxpayer dollars are used correctly. You know, what we like to say in our office is every day we get out of bed to protect New Mexico's taxpayers, citizens, and residents. And the way we do that is by fighting waste, fraud, and abuse. And I think you in this room know what waste is. And fraud is when criminal activity occurs and people are actually stealing from New Mexico's taxpayers. And then abuse is just misusing the system. And so we fight every day for the taxpayers and the people of New Mexico to prevent from waste, fraud, and abuse.
Mm.
What is a day like at work?
Man, a day in my life at work is phenomenal. It has been 53 days of awesome in the Office of the State Auditor. We have phenomenal civil servants that work hard every day to protect each and every one of you. And there are few of us in the office that aren't passionate about serving our children and our community. And my days are very, very robust. In fact, no 2 days have been exactly alike. So we have in our office an opportunity to bring in about 38 individuals to help lead and work in that office every day to protect you and to protect your families and the people of New Mexico, to make sure that we're delivering government in New Mexico that you deserve. And that's a government that enjoys its maximum potential to make sure that we are delivering efficient, effective, and good services to each of you. So my day starts out, I go in the office, I leave Albuquerque here around 5:30 in the morning. I'm an early bird. I get up every day, anytime between 4 and 5 o'clock, depending on what day of the week it is. And then I head north, and we have our office on Cerrillos, South Cerrillos, so I don't have to go all the way into downtown Santa Fe, but we have a great office there on Cerrillos, and I go in there, and it's nice and quiet, And I get my day started and review, make sure that I'm caught up on all my emails, make sure that I have a good understanding of the meetings I've taken that day. My executive team sets appointments for me, and it could be with individuals, taxpayers, or people in New Mexico who are worried about waste, fraud, and abuse, and they want to tell me where they're concerned. So what I tell people is that they have to work with my office if I'm going to be effective. So I'm out there looking for needles in haystacks. Everybody knows what a needle in a haystack is, right? Kind of hard to find.
Really hard
Agreed,
to find.
Agreed, right?
Yeah.
So, but the way I see it is that when you and your families are out there dealing with government, sometimes you go, something here doesn't seem right. Get that weird feeling like something's wrong. This isn't working. There may be a problem. So what I like to have people say is, I'm going to call the office of the state auditor and I'm going to tell Brian Colon we've got a problem in Bernalillo County. Because when you do that, you take me from looking for a needle in a haystack. You actually say, we want you to look at that bale of hay right there. And you can bet your bottom dollar that I'm going to look at that bale of hay, pull off a couple flakes. Anybody have horses or deal with hay?
I do.
Okay, yeah, I know Katie does. Katie's got a great place. She's got all kinds of great animals on property. She's had her phenomenal children help raise those animals, and she knows what a flake is off a bale of hay. We pull those flakes back, and we look for waste, fraud, and abuse. And I can't do that alone. We audit about 600 agencies in a given year, but we're really looking for that needle in a haystack. But when taxpayers and when people in New Mexico say, Brian, we're worried about this or we're worried about that, it helps me get my auditors to focus on a particular area.
So I have a follow-up question on that. Do you audit only when people say something is going on, or do you automatically audit every agency?
Katie should do this every week. She's pretty good at these questions, don't you think? Right? Right? She's pretty good.
So, well, you just made me think of it.
So. No, it's a great question. We do the agencies and governmental entities, we do audit them on an annual basis, but we have the capacity to tell our independent public accountants that are doing those audits, we want you to take a deeper dive into this area or that area. And we have a fraud hotline where folks can call in and say, I'm concerned about this or I'm concerned about that transaction. And that number is 1-866-OSA-FRAUD. That's 1-866-OSA-FRAUD. And we're real creative. OSA stands for Office of the State Auditor. Pretty creative, huh?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. So we love folks to call in. They can be anonymous. They can be what we call whistleblowers and protected with that anonymity so that if people are working in government and they feel like something's going on in their office that's not appropriate, they can call up that guy with the red hair and freckles named Brian Colon, and I can tell you, we're going to take that call and we're going to look into it. So we want to engage people with our office every day.
When were you elected?
Well, Miguel, that was just a little while ago, November 6th of 2018. I was honored to be sworn into office on January 1st at midnight. At midnight, I was sworn in and was really humbled to be able to become the State Auditor of New Mexico. After a long campaign and a hard-fought race and received about 400,000 votes in New Mexico.
Wow.
And so every day when I start my day, and the reason it's been 53 days of awesome is I know I've got a huge responsibility to all New Mexicans to make sure they can take pride in our office so they can take pride in their government.
Why did you want to be auditor?
Well, that's a great question, and it's a very complicated answer, but at the end of the day, when it's all boiled down, it's like I've got a debt of gratitude to my community. I am where I am because the community supported me on my journey. And for me, one of the ways that somebody can repay a debt of gratitude is service. And this was just a wonderful opportunity that presented to me where I felt like if the voters of New Mexico agreed that my finance degree and my almost 20 years of practice in the law was a good background to lead that office, I would stand up tall and I'd say, yes, I will serve. And after folks called me and said if I'd think about doing it, I thought, you know, when people call and they ask you to serve, it's almost always the right thing to say yes. And I did just that.
We're speaking with New Mexico State Auditor Brian Colon, and we're learning all about what does a state auditor do. We have a lot more questions for you, but we're going to take a little break. This is coming off of a CD called Daddy O' Daddy, Rare Family Songs of Woody Guthrie. And take a listen.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Hoodoo, voodoo, C. 721 to Haystack, a host like Oklahoma. I took a low, took a 990, sidewalk, street car, dance, cookie dance. Choo 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 choo. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Blackbird, Blue Jay, 1, 2, 3, 4, trash, like jump, back, E, F, G. Big man, little man, Batman, ski man, grass, up a green snake, hold my hand. Mama cat, tom cat, dives on a clothesline, 2, 4, 6, 8, running high. Crazy man, lazy girl, pony on a tin can, I'll be yours, you'll be mine. Sidewalk, street car, dance, group dance. Choo 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 choo.
Daddy Oh Daddy is the name of that CD. Billy Bragg is given credit for that. And maybe that is Billy Bragg. There's a lot of people on that CD, though. The Rare Family Songs of Woody Guthrie. That's the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And my guess here on the Children's Hour is that our New Mexico State Auditor, Brian Colone, uses all those numbers every day.
Hey, we might just make that the theme song for the Office of the State Auditor. We'll bring in Woody Guthrie every morning to start us out.
That would be great. Kind of cool. gets you up and going. We are speaking with New Mexico State Auditor Brian Colone because we all really didn't understand what an auditor does. And I surveyed a lot of listeners and was pretty surprised that my most educated friends had no clue what the state auditor does, and with the exception of Pamela Herndon, who gets a gold star, she's a KUNM volunteer here, and she knows what you do, and she's pretty good.
Well, you know why she knows what we do is because I tried to recruit her to come on board and serve in our office. And
Pamela Herndon just started a nonprofit and doing really awesome work, and
I just love
her. Shout out to you, Pamela Herndon. But so many questions from the kids in the studio here. We're going to start over here with Marissa. We were talking right before the break about how you were just elected. You've only just been sworn in for less than 2 months at this point.
53 days of office. Awesome.
And so we know you're an elected position, and Marissa over here has a question for you.
Are state auditors always elected?
Marissa's always got great questions, and thanks for coming in the studio, Marissa. So state auditors are not always elected, and in fact, we don't even have the same title for this responsibility in every state. We have some states that elect their state auditors. We have some states that appoint some states elect their state auditors. Some states appoint the state auditor. And in other states, they have what they call controllers. And the controllers and their offices are the ones that take on the duties of the office of the state auditor in New Mexico. So we are exceptional in giving the people of New Mexico a voice in who they want to lead in this effort to fight waste, fraud, and abuse in New Mexico. So it's a great question. Every state's a little different. But in fact, I'm looking forward to go meet the we have an Association of State Auditors, and I'll get to meet some of my counterparts in other states, figure out what their best practices are, and make sure that we're getting it right in New Mexico, because we are embracing excellence every day in the Office of the State Auditor.
We kind of had another question here about partisan politics. And
I don't know anything about partisan politics.
Well,
there,
you were elected as a Democrat. And so one question that we had was, yeah, Lorena, you want to do it? Okay. Well, okay, I'll do it. We were talking off mic here about what difference does it make if you're a Republican or a Democrat? You ran as a Democrat. Someone ran against you as a Republican. What difference does it make if an auditor is a partisan position like that, a Democrat or a Republican?
So that's a great question. And we consistently have a conversation in our politics, whether judges should be in partisan races, whether the state auditor should be a partisan race, the treasurer, all these issues. But at the end of the day, we have the system that we have, that this position is elected in a partisan process. And I did run as a Democrat, and I was elected as a Democrat against the incumbent Republican who was appointed by the immediate past governor. But here's the most important thing to remember. I say this practically every day, Katie and my friends here in studio. Waste, fraud, and abuse doesn't have a party affiliation. Those folks that make bad choices and steal from New Mexico's taxpayers, or make bad choices and aren't efficient in government and doing the right thing every day, that has nothing to do with politics. It has nothing to do with being a Democrat or a Republican. What we know is we've got now convicted felons in the last 5 years, and some of those convicted felons who have abused New Mexico's taxpayers, they're Democrats and they're Republicans.
So when you say convicted felon, just for kids here, that means somebody broke a really serious law and probably had to go to jail.
That's exactly right. And so it's very unfortunate.
Right.
And it is a crime. And we know that some of those cases started in the office of the state auditor, where we found that waste, fraud, and abuse. And we worked with the attorney general to make sure that we held them accountable. But sadly, party affiliation has nothing to do with people making bad choices. It happens in every single party. And every day we've got to get out of bed and say, look, this office isn't about Democrat or Republican. It's about holding people accountable and fighting waste, fraud, and abuse. And that's what our team gets to do. Maya.
So if an auditor finds a problem, what do they do?
So Maya asks a great question. And if an auditor in my office finds a problem, what we do is we do a full investigation. We have several divisions in our office, but one of our cool divisions is the Special Investigations Division. It's one of the smaller divisions, but it's super important. Our lead division is the auditing division, as you might guess, right? Financial division that does and manages all those audits, and our independent public accountants that work with us every day. But in Special Investigation Division, they work up the investigation. They work with our auditors to check their work and do a deeper dive. And if we identify waste, fraud, and abuse, particularly if that waste, fraud, and abuse turns out to be potentially criminal activity, we work with other governmental agencies to hold them accountable. And typically those governmental agencies will be the district attorneys. You know, here in Bernalillo County, we've got a great district attorney, Raul Torres, who's working hard every day. And if that waste, fraud, and abuse occurred here in Bernalillo County, we might work with him. But the other person I get to work with is somebody who I hold in high esteem as well. He's our attorney general and somebody who was formerly the state auditor of New Mexico. His name is Hector Balderas. So I work with the attorney general's office to continue the investigation, and they bring their team on board to potentially prosecute, because I have no prosecutorial authority. Or what that means is I don't have the ability to take anybody to court and prosecute them if they've made bad choices or committed crimes. But in fact, the district attorneys do, and in fact, the attorney general's office. So we worked hand in glove or side by side with each of those prosecutorial entities.
And then they can actually, people actually do go to jail for doing these kinds of crimes. But you know what surprises me, and I bet it surprises a lot of kids too, because we always want to believe the best in people, is that we even need to do this. It's sort of sad that humans can't always be trusted.
Well, here's, Katie, I think you You bring up a great point. And if anything, my office has to continue to educate me and say, look, Brian, you cannot be naive. The things that we bump into in this office will make your head explode because you can't believe that people make such poor choices. But here's what I tell people. I do see the best in others. And what I can tell you is that over the last 12 years, the Office of the State Auditor and our last two elected auditors in particular have really done a great job of not only holding people accountable, but educating the public at large about how important this work is. And I have no doubt, Katie, as I stand here today with these fantastic children, our next generation of elected officials in the room, I have no doubt that today, in the year 2019, that waste, fraud, and abuse is on the decline in New Mexico, because people of New Mexico know that our office and the Office of the Attorney General and district attorneys around the state are willing to step up and say, we're going to hold you accountable, so don't even make those bad choices.
I love it. This is our New Mexico State Auditor, Brian Colon, and he's been telling us, what does an auditor do? Do you all feel like you know now what an auditor does?
Yeah.
Yeah. We went from knowing nothing to knowing so much right here on the Children's Hour.
You're listening to the Children's Hour. We'll be right back.
Supporting our community means a lot to Albuquerque-based Kay and Molly Textiles, which is why they're proud to support the Children's Hour podcasts. Their print studio is committed to creating great jobs that include health and education benefits, leadership development, and flexible hours for new immigrants and refugees in Albuquerque. Find their hand-printed towels at their retail store or in a store near you nationwide. Find out more at kandmolly.com. That's K-E-I and Molly.com. The Children's Hour podcast is made possible in part by Meow Wolf. Meow Wolf, your portal to the multiverse. Meow Wolf proudly supports the Children's Hour Incorporated. You're listening to the Children's Hour, and we're broadcasting live. And in the studio with us right now is New Mexico State Auditor Brian Colon, elected to his position in the last election in the fall and seated as of the 1st of January. And our youngest Children's Hour crew member is here. Really cute little baby. Brian Colon, Auditor Colon, we loved having our time. Everyone here agrees we've learned so much, but we have just a couple quick questions for you, and then we'll let you be on your merry way because we want you counting we want to make every second count for you, and we want it's adding up for us. So, yeah.
Can you give me an example of waste, fraud, and abuse?
All right, Maya, we're going to make this the speed round so folks can ask as many questions as possible in this last segment. But let me give you just a couple quick examples. You know, we talked about waste, fraud, and abuse not having a party affiliation, but we've got our former Secretary of State who made some really poor choices with taxpayer dollars who ended up having to go to prison. We've got a former state senator, and one was a Republican, one was a Democrat, who made bad choices and was held accountable. We've got, in terms of waste, the great example that I love to talk about is our current mayor of Albuquerque, former state auditor Tim Keller, identified an opportunity to gather data regarding our backlog in what are called rape kits. And that is something that is out there to protect survivors and victims who've been raped. But there was a whole backlog of those kits around the state, and he gathered the data and he produced a transparency report. And with that transparency report, folks made some good choices on how to address that. And so that's kind of waste, fraud, and abuse. Three examples where the Office of the State Auditor and the Attorney General's office were able to hold people accountable.
And that makes a huge difference in the real lives of people right now in New Mexico. Do we have any other questions in the room?
First? I have a question.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you're doing a lot. Do you have a family, and how do you make time for them?
Hey, what a great question. So look, I am so proud of my family. My bride is an amazing woman. We've been married for 23 years. She's a civil engineer with a master's in math. And every day She gets out of bed and goes and makes a difference in the lives of children just like you. She teaches at Van Buren Middle School, one of our deepest pockets of poverty here in Albuquerque, and she changes lives every day. And she's working on her PhD. I couldn't be more proud, and I can't wait to call her Dr. Colon. So that's my wonderful wife. And then my son is a product of Albuquerque Public Schools. He's a very proud Albuquerque High Bulldog. He graduated a few years ago, and he's now on a presidential scholarship at George Washington University in D.C. And somebody earlier asked me, why do I do this, and why did I decide to run? And frankly, I'm like so many people in New Mexico, whether it's Katie or me. We all want to make New Mexico a great place so that our next generation, people like my son Rafael, make a decision to come back home and invest in New Mexico and raise their children here, because that's our best legacy, is the many generations of folks who have decided to raise their children in our state. And I want to make New Mexico a great state so my son comes home and that you all choose to raise your children here as well.
Mm-hmm. How can our families and us kids help the state auditors?
Lee, that's a great question. So how can you help the state auditors? Well, number one, when you hear your parents say something doesn't seem right here, you say, well, why don't you call that guy with all those freckles? I met him in Albuquerque at the Children's Hour with Katie Stone, and tell him, call the office of the state auditor, 1-866-OSA-FRAUD, 1-866-OSA-FRAUD. And the other thing is you can help spread the word. Spread the word. Most people have no idea. People that are 2 and 3 and 4 times your age have no idea what the office of the state auditor does, but now each of you do. So help be a champion for our office. And I want to tell you this. You have an open invitation. Each of you have my business card. It has my office address. You come up to Santa Fe and you come to the office of the state auditor, and I'll make you honorary auditor for the day. We'll have you come set up in my office. You'll get to meet my team, and it'll be just a phenomenal time. We'll have a great time.
I love it.
Thanks, Maya.
You can learn a lot more about the state auditor. There is a website, OSANM, I think is what it is. But it's easy to Google and find Office of the State Auditor New Mexico, and you can learn a lot. We are also going to post all kinds of stuff along with the podcast of this show. You can always find our podcast on Spotify and iTunes, and you can follow us on social media and get links to all kinds of stuff. We're on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. And Auditor Colon, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. It's early on a Saturday for a lot of people, not for you. It's like the middle of the day for you, but and it's a lot closer than Santa Fe. But we're just so glad that you took the time to explain your work, because as an elected official, it's really important that people understand what they're doing when they elect someone. And, you know, you've helped everyone understand more why this position is so important and what exactly you do. So,
well, it's been a super great honor to be here. You know, I'm a fan of the Children's Hour. I've been following you on social media for years, and I love the work that you do, whether it's in educating people about the children that are on the autism spectrum and making sure that we support that work and keep that front of mind up in Santa Fe during this session, or whether it's here at the Children's Hour where you bring in some phenomenal families and children to help lead these interviews and provide, you know, opportunities for young people to be able to work the board, so to speak. And it's really awesome. I'm getting ready to leave now and go down to Peralta, New Mexico, where we have the first annual Carlos Otero Memorial Art Show. And we're going to go down there and we're going to look at some great Spanish colonial art and just honor our traditions of New Mexico. And I couldn't be more honored. This is a phenomenal way to start my day here in Albuquerque, then head down to Peralta, and then I'll officiate a wedding tonight here in the South Valley. And, today's just going to be a fantastic day, and I couldn't have been more honored than to start it with the phenomenal young leaders in this room. So remember, come on out. Allow me to serve New Mexicans by helping us fight waste, fraud, and abuse. I want to give the last shout-out to my team. We've got phenomenal civil servants that work every day, get out of bed every day, show up at work. They work hard 40 hours a week plus to protect New Mexico's taxpayers. And frankly, when I show up, people hand me a microphone and then they start applause. But the folks that are in my office working every day that are just civil servants, they're not in politics. They're just out there every day working hard. And I want to say I'm grateful for them. I applaud them, and I'm honored to stand with them in this fight at the Office of the State Auditor. Thank you, Katie.
Oh, thank you so much, New Mexico State Auditor Brian Colon. And learn a lot more. Follow us on Instagram. We're posting a lot of stuff right now. In the meantime, this is Mr. G from a CD called Choco La La La.
Uno, dos, tres. 1, 2, 3. Come on, everybody, sing along with me. Uno, dos, tres. 1, 2, 3. Come on, everybody, sing along with me. We're gonna learn to count to 10 today. uno, dos, tres, now we're on our way. Cuatro, cinco, seis, four, five, and six. It's fácil, it's easy, there are no tricks. Uno, dos, tres, one, two, three. Come on, everybody, sing along with me. Uno, dos, tres, one, two, three. Come on, everybody, sing along with me. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, seis. We're counting up to six, just running in place. Siete, ocho, nueve, seven, eight, nine. Almost up to ten in a minute's time. Uno, dos, tres, one, two, three. Come on, everybody, sing along with me. Uno, dos, tres, one, two, three. Come on, everybody, sing along with me. Cinco, seis.
Cuatro, cinco, seis.
Siete.
Siete.
Ocho.
Ocho.
Nueve.
Nueve.
Y diez.
Uh-huh. See, I can kind of recall a little ways back. Small trying to ball, always been black. And my hair, I tried it all. I even went flat, had a Gumby curly top and all that now. Was trying to be appreciated. Nappy-headed brothers never had no ladies. Then I hit the barbershop real quick. Had them give me little twists and it drove them crazy. But then I couldn't get no job. This corporate wouldn't hire no dreadlocks. Then I thought about my dogs on the block. Kinda understand why they chose to steal and rob. Was it the hair that got me this far? All these girls, these cribs, these cars. I hate to say it, but it seems so flawed. Cause success didn't come till I cut it all off.
Little girl with the pressing curl. Age 8, I got a Jerry curl. 13 and I got a relaxer. I was a source of so much laughter. At 15 when it all broke off. 18 and I went all natural. February 2002, I went on and did what I had to do. Because it was time to change my life, to become the woman that I am inside. 97 dreadlocks all gone. I looked in the mirror for the first time and saw that. No, no, I am not my head. I am not the skin. I am the soul that lives with me. Good hair means curls and waves. Bad hair means you look like a slave. At the turn of the century, it's time for us to redefine who we be. You can shave it off like a South African beauty. Got it on lock like Bob Marley. You can rock it straight like Oprah Winfrey. If it's not what's on your head, it's what's underneath. And say, hey.
With the wave cap and the cops wanna harass, cause I got waves. Ain't seen nothing like that in all my days. Man, you gotta change all this fearance. Steady judging one another by their appearance. Yes, India, I feel you, girl. Now go ahead, talk to the rest of the world. Cause
does the way I wear my hair make me a better person? Does the way I wear my hair make me a better friend? Oh, does the way I wear my hair determine my shining, singing out to the whole wide world like, hey, hey.
hair. And no, we're not all our hair. And in fact, a huge thing happened in America this week. The city of New York decided to ban hair discrimination. And we're broadcasting today's show live on February 23rd. It's the birthday of W.E.B. Du Bois. He was born in 1868 in Western Massachusetts. And Du Bois was an American civil rights leader, philosopher, writer, and peace activist. And he was the first African-American to earn a Ph.D. from Harvard University. He was once quoted as saying, "The cost of liberty is less than the price of repression." And February is Black History Month, and the New Mexico Black History Organizing Committee has some all-ages events coming up, ongoing even past February, and you can find all of their schedule at nmblackhistorymonth.com. But why are we focusing on Black history at all? Well, because most Black American history is all of our history, and it's routinely overlooked when learning about this great nation of ours. Our country was one of the last countries in the Western world to abolish slavery in 1865. And we had over 300 years of slaves building our nation's wealth, roads, cities, towns. These people worked without money. They often had their children taken away, their parents taken away, and were treated as if they were just property. This only ended in the United States, slavery, in 1865 officially. But the fight is still ongoing for equal treatment. And sometimes there's battles between that non-Black people don't even know exists, like the fight to be allowed your freedom of hairstyle. So the New York Times reported this week on the soon-to-be-released guidelines regarding hair discrimination in the city of New York. The city of New York's Commission on Human Rights has a new guideline regarding how every business and government in the city of New York will need to treat hair. And the quote is this: natural hair treated or untreated styles, such as locks, cornrows, twists, braids, Bantu knots, fades, afros, and or the right to keep hair in an uncut or untrimmed state, will not, that is what is going to be permitted. Victims of discrimination, hair discrimination, can collect damages up to $250,000, in addition to forcing whatever the company is to have policy and hiring changes that are breaking these guidelines. These guidelines are the first of their kind in the nation. There is no legal precedent in federal court or protection for the protection of hair, according to Carmelin Malias, the commissioner and the chair of the New York Commission on Human Rights. And she went on to say, quote, "There's nothing keeping us from calling out these policies prohibiting natural hair or hairstyles most closely associated with Black people. They are based upon racist stereotypes of appearances, and they perpetuate racist stereotypes that say Black hairstyles are unprofessional or improper. You know, Black people have faced hair discrimination in the workplace, in government jobs, and elsewhere." The New York Times article said, quote, "There's long been a professional toll for those with certain hairstyles. 18% of the United States soldiers on active duty are Black, but it is only in recent years that our own military dropped the prohibition on hairstyles associated with Black culture. Hair discrimination happens in schools. Kids have been turned away even recently from schools for having dreadlocks or cornrows and have been reportedly disciplined or targeted and harassed over their hairstyle. The struggle for civil rights is ongoing. But today, our nation is browning. Self-identified white people used to be 90% of our population in 1940. But in 2010, in the census, white people were only 70% of the population. We are a browning nation, and it's a beautiful thing. We talk about American values and the ideals of freedom and opportunity for all, equality, but part of the discussion must be about the betrayal of that vision of unity and harmony, because we are a nation that was built upon the blood, sweat, tears, and suffering of slavery. We can dismantle the threads of slavery that still bind our country by reforming racist laws and addressing the legacy of injustice still faced by Black American community today." You're listening to The Children's Hour. Coming up next, this is from Sesame Street.
Don't need a trip to the beauty shop, 'cause I love what I got on top. It's curly and it's brown and it's right up there. You know what I love? really love my hair. I love my hair. I love my hair. There's nothing else that can compare with my hair. I love my hair. So I must declare, I really, really, really love my hair. Wear a clip, you're in a bow. I wear it twisted all around. I wear braids and pigtails too. I love all the things my hair can do. Embroideries for flying free. They're their perfect tresses, you see. My hair is part of me, an awesome part of me. I really love my hair.
You're listening to The Children's Hour.
The Children's Hour is produced by Katie Stone and all of us on the kids' crew.
Many thanks to New Mexico State Auditor Brian Colon for being with us on the show today.
Our podcasts are posted on iTunes and Spotify.
Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and stay connected.
Thanks so much again to all the great crew for being with us today on the show, and thank you for listening. Coming up next, a little Taj Mahal and Keb Mo to wind us out on the Children's Hour.
Now we see everything is going wrong with the world and those who lead it. We just feel like we don't have the means to rise above and beat it. So we keep on waiting, yeah, waiting on the world to change. We keep on waiting, yeah, waiting on the world to change. It's hard to beat the system when we're standing at a distance. So we keep on waiting, yeah.
Had the power to bring our neighbors home from war, they would have never missed a Christmas, no more ribbons on the door. And when you trust your television, what you get is what you got. Cause when they own the information, oh, they can bend it all they want.
That's why we're waiting, yeah, waiting on the world to change. We keep on waiting, yeah, waiting on the world to change. Not that we don't care, we just know that the fight ain't there. So we keep on waiting, yeah, waiting on the world to change.
Scoop-a-boop-boop-dwee-da-dee-doo-doo. Skip-a-doop-a-doop-a-doop-a-da-da-da. Skip-a-dilly-a-dip-a-dee. Scoop-a-doop-a-dwee.
We're still waiting, yeah, waiting on the world to
Children's Hour is a production of the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico nonprofit dedicated to producing high-quality, non-commercial, educational children's public radio. Find out more about us and support our work at childrenshour.org. Our theme music was written by C.K. Barlow. Let us know what you think of the show, sign up for our public events, and follow us on social media. It's all at childrenshour.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Katie Stone.